Deer Trucking Awesome. What do you think of when someone says tough? Honestly, I think of a Toyota truck. Tundra's one mean mother of a truck with a twin-turbo V6, an incredible going power, and the Tacoma claws through terrain with a taller suspension and lots of creature comforts in the cockpit. Both Toyota trucks are decked out with tons of cool features and tech you'll dig. Check them out at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It's an emergency. We're lost. We don't know what we're doing. Emergencies happening. DNVR Avalanche podcasts as the Avs have officially made a trade. AJ.
What up, Doug?
Did you know that Matt Nieto is from Long Beach, California?
Hey, Rudo.
I earned this one. What?
Did you know that Matt Nieto's from Long Beach?
I did, in fact, know that. Just happened to happened upon that information. Avs officially trade Martin Kaut and Jacob McDonald to the San Jose Sharks for Matt Nieto and Ryan Merkley. Now, there's a decent chance the biggest piece in this trade ends up being Ryan Merkley. We'll get to that in a little bit. We want to talk about the rest of these pieces first. Obviously, with Martin Kaut and Jacob McDonald, at this point, Jacob McDonald had more or less played himself out of a defensive role on the team and was getting 3 to 5 minutes a night on the forward side. Really didn't have a role on the team anymore. You and I, AJ, had been talking about, is it finally time to just send him through waivers and buck up and get it done? And then Martin Kaut, a guy that I think you and I both like, but for whatever reason never seemed to really fit in Colorado.
Yeah.
So, as much as I like Martin Kaut, it really does not feel like the Avs gave up very much here.
In what, in what way can you argue that they really gave up something that they felt they needed? Martin Kaut has passed through waivers twice this year and was a guy that they, you and I can feel how we feel about the player. It doesn't matter.
Yep.
How they feel about the player has been obvious. And after he played 20 some odd games for them, that they just randomly pulled the ripcord and were like, boop.
Out. Hard out.
That tells you, that really just goes to show you like where they were with it.
Yep.
That's a guy that they did not see that if he's not going to be able to help him in this spot.
When can you?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and then Jacob McDonald was a guy that we've been sitting here being like, can you guys just send this guy down? Because it got to the point where, in my opinion, I thought what was happening here was disrespectful.
On playing a dude 3 minutes a night? Like, come on.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. And the reality is, certainly on the defensive side, Andreas Englund had earned that sixth, seventh guy job, depending on however healthy the Avs are, you want to say. And the Avs clearly preferred Curtis McDermott as that guy that can play forward and D over Jacob McDonald.
Yeah, and I think that Jacob McDonald had, coming into the year, probably was on even ground with Curtis McDermott.
Yeah, and then up for grabs.
As the year went on, the fact that they had totally moved on from
McDonald on defense at
all. Yeah. Like, not like they were just like, no, we're not doing this until we have to.
Yeah.
And that situation popped up with this kill McCarr, will he, won't he stuff. So, that I think, I think it's pretty obvious that Jacob McDonald just didn't have a role here anymore. Where I think this sucks is that I think Jacob McDonald, like, the Eagles have lost both of their captains now.
One to waivers and one to a trade now.
Yeah, because between Magna and McDonald, those are two really good AHL players and really high-quality character veterans for a really young Eagles team.
For sure.
And so that's not great. You don't love that.
Yeah.
But, beyond that, at the NHL level, the reality here is that they lose two guys in this trade that they don't that are kind of spare parts that were sort of spare parts for them organizationally at this point.
Definitely.
We have been talking about the Martin Kaut prospect swap for a long time.
Yeah.
And it finally has happened, and the prospect they get in return. Oof.
We're going to talk about it a lot. There's a lot of angles to it in Colorado, but before we get to that, obviously the key immediate impact piece of the Avalanche roster is Matt Nieto. Most of our viewers, I think, will probably know him from his first go around Colorado Avalanche, but I'm sure there are some new people who don't know him as well. Hard bottom six guy, will provide a little bit of offense for you, but is another, I think I called him Logan O'Connor 2.0 on the show earlier today, because he will frustrate you with his inability to finish opportunities, but he can fly around the ice, skate real fast, and be a bit of a pest in that way. So it definitely fits into the Avs stylistically as far as depth.
Yeah. I mean, we talk about, we've always complained about Matt Nieto and the finishing ability and all that, but he's got the same number of goals as Valeri Nichushkin this season.
Couple more games played, but
sure. But I mean, you're talking the same number of goals as Andrew Cogliano too.
And
it's basically production wise, it's basically like they took Andrew Cogliano, copy and paste it.
I appreciate that. Take those numbers with some context. Keep in mind, in San Jose, this was a guy regularly playing 16, 17 minutes a night on a very bad hockey team. In Colorado, he's going to be playing like 12, maybe less. So there's going to be less opportunity for him to produce in Colorado.
Yeah, for comparison's sake, the full seasons that he played in Colorado, he averaged 14.05 of ice time. And I don't know that he gets that.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if it was that high, just given where the Avs as an organization are at this point.
Yeah. It should also be noted that the shooting percentage that he has right now,
it's a little high. It's a little high.
Is the third highest of his career.
Yep. For what it's worth.
Second highest of his career.
For what it's worth, all of his goals have come from about 4 feet away from the net. So he is a guy that will get to that area of the ice and slam pucks towards the goal. Always a good thing for a depth forward, put it that way.
I mean, he's production wise, he's basically what Cogliano has given the Avs this year, which the Avs have needed.
Yep.
So that's, if you compare that to a top line player, it's not very good production. If you compare that to the literal nothing that they've been getting out of Anton Bleed and Martin Kaut and Ben Myers and that general forward
big
spot.
Step up from that 12th, 13th guy, whatever you want to call it. Yeah.
Yeah. You're talking about an important contributor there that he gives you. We talk about this all the time. He raises the floor of your roster.
Yep.
He doesn't raise the ceiling. He doesn't make the top of your roster better, but he makes the bottom of your roster. He gives it a floor base level of expectation that Jared Bednar is going to love. going to love.
Right. It's twofold there. One, I think we're pretty clearly at a point where Darren Helm, not looking great for him returning at this point. And that means the addition of Matt Nieto is, as you said, a guy that Bednar is actually going to be willing to play more than 5 minutes a night and give him some ice time when it gets into not garbage time.
To be honest with you, the way that Ben Myers has been playing for the last couple of weeks, he needed some homies.
A little help.
he needed a guy or two that Jared Bednar was comfortable playing. And going and getting Matt Nieto certainly answers that.
Yeah, I have no problems with this trade at all. To be honest with you, I think Colorado today, obviously, you know, how prospects pan out, you never know. But today, I would say Colorado has won this trade pretty easily.
Yeah, well, and from a perspective of purely from the perspective of they get a guy that helps their NHL roster right now, they don't give up draft picks. They don't give up prospects that they really, 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 really like. They get back a guy. They get back an NHL player, you know, instead of going out and spending a sixth round pick or a fifth round pick, they get back Matt Nieto more or less for two guys that would have passed through waivers.
Yep. It's certainly not high value trade options. Nothing. You're probably certainly would have more value in something like a second round pick. Not that the Avs have one, but it just where the value was at. And that's for Matt Nieto alone. And then
that's for Matt Nieto alone. We haven't even touched on the whole Ryan Merkley part of this. Cause when I opened the email, I was like, oh, I wonder what it's for. And I initially only saw Jacob McDonald and Matt Nieto. And I was like, that's a really weird value.
Yep.
For San Jose, what's going on?
Slam dunk for the Avs on that front.
Yeah, well, and then I saw Martin Kaut, and I was like, okay, this makes sense. But then you throw in the Ryan Merkley piece of this, and you're like,
what is San Jose doing?
Okay.
Now, this Ryan Merkley conversation is quite a bit complicated.
Do we want to do fancies for Nieto before we move on to Merkley?
Oh, do we have Nieto fancies? I didn't know. Yeah, let's bring those up then.
Whichever one you want first.
Yeah, I don't know which ones are which. So, does Tiff have them?
Yeah. All right. So, player card. He's been. It's more or less what we've expected with Matt Nieto. The defense has been a little bit down this year. The offense is as always is. The finishing is way up this season, which is kind of holding his overall war up. But you guys already are pretty familiar with Matt Nieto. That teammate number will go down, but so will that competition number.
Yep.
I expect the finishing and the goals per 60 will go down as well.
Most likely. But
yeah,
that comes with the territory a little bit.
Yeah, P.S. I use the night version of everything for my migraine issues. And that's why Matt Nieto looks like a zombie in that picture.
I'm surprised the night mode even works with Google Sheets, to be honest. But
yeah, I mean, some things it does, some things it doesn't, as you can see with this.
Yep.
So here you go. A couple of things. Again, the defense a little bit. The defense is fine. The PK work is fine. He has drawn 7 penalties this year. He's only taken 4, so he's not super involved there. And you can see from his entire career, defensively, he's a good defensive forward that can be relied upon, and he doesn't do a lot offensively for you.
Yep. Will help stabilize the bottom 6, basically.
Yeah. And to be honest, that's what we've been asking from the Avs. We've just been saying, hey, you know, all these conversations about, oh, when they get healthy and what happens with this, what happens with that. Look, it doesn't really matter right now. The big thing is that it does not look good for Darren Helm.
Yeah.
And with the uncertainty surrounding Darren Helm, even if Darren Helm were to return this season, it's not happening anytime soon.
Yep.
So Matt Nieto is a guy that you can plug into your lineup for the next 20 games before the, you know, and for the next month, especially in the next month before the trade deadline, before they make any other moves that they might want to make.
March 3rd and then reassess that situation for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's, I think, and I would suggest people plan for no more Darren Helm. As much as that's a bummer.
Yeah, it just, especially with reoccurring injuries like that, it's tough.
Yeah. When you have surgery to fix something twice and you play five games and immediately you're like, something's wrong.
Yep.
It's a really tough, it's a really tough go. Yeah, exactly. Avery knows. Really though, like you are talking from an NHL level, you get better here. You stabilize a position of need, but organizationally, from the perspective of the AHL swap here, the count for Merkley, Ryan Merkley's not, he shouldn't be on the Avalanche right now.
No,
he's in the final year of his ELC. He's a really odd career arc.
Yeah.
But it really is with Merkley. All right. So here's the thing. If Jesse was here, he would retell the draft day story of when we were in Dallas and everybody was really kind of blown away that he got taken. We had done all of our homework and talked to people around
a lot of
the organization. Ryan Merkley was the kind of talent that could have justified a top 10 pick. He's a phenomenal skater, a right-handed shot. He's not like great size. I mean, it's very average size. He's right about 5'11", 190. It's pretty average.
Yep.
And the problem is that he had massive character concerns in his draft year.
Yep.
Now, he got drafted. Things have not been great since then.
It's been weird, right? Like, he hasn't been particularly great generally. After getting drafted, he had the weird team change in the OHL.
Yeah.
His first year pro, because he ends up playing half a season in the AHL. Then San Jose's really bad, so the next year they play him 30 games in the NHL where he's not any good.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's kind of stuck in this weird limbo of an AHL where he's not playing horribly in the AHL this year by any stretch.
And he had requested a trade because he was just like, look, it's not happening with this organization. It's not great. I will say, I don't know where the character stuff is today.
Yeah. Couldn't tell you.
I just don't. Since he got to an organization, it's been not my pig, not my farm territory.
It certainly hasn't blown up to the point beyond his own team sphere. That's for sure.
Yeah. some of this you always want. I'm always really, really uncomfortable talking about character stuff when people don't want to get into it because you don't know what the hell is going on there. Like, yeah. You don't know. Is he just a bad teammate? Is he selfish? Is there, like, what's the level here? You know, because we always thought there are degrees to these things where you're like, oh, you know, he's selfish and he cares about his stats a whole bunch, or like potentially involved in something criminal, right? Like, and as chat is going over right now, I've never heard anything like that, right, where it's more just like a really, really.
The gap between being a hothead and being Mitchell Miller is
right. That's a good way to put it. He hasn't carried that level of a baggage with him.
Yeah.
It's more like occasionally he does tee off and do something stupid. He got the big slash. He had the suspension for two-handing a guy. Mm-hmm. Which was well earned. It was an ugly It was an ugly scene. But for the most part, I mean, we're talking about attitude stuff here.
Yep.
You know, can this guy grow up? Can he be a pro? Can he learn to be, can he learn to buy into something bigger than himself, or is he always just going to be about himself? So, yeah, I mean, Ice Time, and we're not even talking about Jared Bednar with this conversation.
Yeah.
This is not an Avalanche Ice Time thing. This is a, he needs to be with the Eagles for a while. He needs to get, well, where he makes sense for the Avalanche is that he is a really, really talented offensive defenseman. He needs to learn to play defense.
But has a ton of skills that fits their systems.
And
look, as far as the Avs are concerned, before this trade, the Avs' list of interesting defensive prospects was Sean Barron's end of list.
It's true.
So there was plenty of room to add a guy like Ryan Merkley as far as organizational prospect depth is concerned. And again, you know, we don't know the attitude issues, whatever. But as far as on ice, it seems like a real easy fit to drop that dude in with the Eagles and give him some burn.
If you are the Dallas Stars or something, you're looking at this deal going, oh, God. Oh, God. Because let's be real here. Not every guy has worked out in Colorado over the last 5 or 6 years. But a lot of dudes have come to the Avs
and gotten better
and squared up in a way that they did not. I mean, look at Andreas Englund.
Particularly defensemen have gotten a lot better.
You look at Ryan Graves comes to Colorado. You know, Andreas Englund comes to Colorado. They get through, you know, with the Dan Renouf's of the world, like some of the veteran guys where, you know, Megan did a piece in which Brad Hunt talks about how different playing for Greg Cronin is.
You go back even Patrick Nemeth's first stint through the Colorado Avalanche and how he developed into a real NHL defenseman. The list is just very, very long of successful stories when it comes to defensemen coming into this organization and coming out as NHLers.
Yeah, it is like you're talking about. This is a dude that, like, skills wise, the way that he plays the game is a picture perfect fit for what the Avalanche want from their defenseman. He attacks, he's really high skilled, he's really aggressive, he's a very good skater, he gets involved offensively. His draft year was the same as Scouts, 2018.
Yep.
He gets involved.
Has no fear jumping up into the play. Yeah.
In the way that we see the Avalanche want from their D. So it's really a question of, can they hone this? Can they work with this guy? Can they help him grow up? You know, this is their next big reclamation project. The next big one that they've taken on since Val Nichushkin will now be Ryan Merkley. And this is a big one because this was a dude that was on a lot of D&D lists in 2018. I think including Colorado's, to be honest with you, given some of the conversations that I had back then. I'm pretty sure, actually, it was Colorado's. Some things have changed in the organization since then. And of course, you win a Stanley Cup and you kind of got that glow. And I wonder how much of this is the organization kind of having a feel for themselves where they're like, they're looking 100%. At him.
A little bit of a heat check here for sure.
I was going to make a romantic comparison, but a heat check is a good way to put it.
And again, pretend for a second that this guy's name's not Ryan Merkley. Pretend it's Joe Defender. And you look at the Avs organization and you're like, well, we let Martin Kaut go, but we have Jean-Luc Foudy. We have a Sampo Ranta. You have an Oscar Olausson. You have multiple options right now on the forward side of your organization in the AHL. It's just understanding and managing your assets. And again, whatever you believe Martin Kaut may or may not be, I think you certainly believe, as far as talent-wise, that Ryan Merkley can be that level of NHLer, if not more.
Well, and from an organization standpoint, you have another – you now have a defenseman in your system in the AHL level. Again, finishing his ELC, lots of runway here. You have a lot of RFA years to work with. So you give him a qualifying offer. You like what you see. You give him a qualifying offer. You bring him back next year. You work with him. You see if he fits. You see who he is. You see, okay, what do we have here? What are we working with? And who is this guy? How talented is he? Can he fit? Do we like him? You know, all these things. You get to answer all these questions about what he might be able to become for you in your organization. And you kind of jump to you jump several steps here to get a guy this talented with this, you know, it's gonna come with a red flag somewhere. It's gonna come with question marks somewhere. But they don't have the draft capital right now to take these kinds of chances. So they pulled from where they were good, where they had some room to make some choices. And they not only helped the NHL team today, but they might have helped the NHL team tomorrow.
If this trade works out, these are the types of trades people talk about, how organizations stay at championship levels for extended lengths of time.
Now, that's why I'm saying out,
we don't know, but
a team like Dallas is looking at it going, God damn it. Because that could have – that
Aves was going to be gone. This defense was going to get worse.
Right. They're like, great. We were worried about just Sean Behrens. But now these guys sprinkled their little Colorado magic dust on them. Now it's going to be Sean Behrens and Ryan Merkley. Like, great. So, and if you are having a serious – and like, look, the NHL games that Ryan Merkley played a couple of years ago, he was brutally bad. He was
also rushed to the NHL way too quickly.
Like, he was in no way ready for that. It should not have happened. That was an organization that had lost its way, making bad choices, and unfortunately, he paid that price.
Yep.
And now he's in an organization that doesn't need him to do shit. They need him. They need him to show up, change the attitude, and just work. Get to work, try to be the best version of himself. If he gets to work on that, you have absolutely no idea where this goes. If he doesn't get to work on that, then this ends up being they didn't give up anything that they were really, really going to miss from a hockey perspective. Jacob McDonald rules as a human being, and so I don't want to gloss over and just act like that's not meaningful. But from a hockey perspective, they can survive this one pretty easily. And this is the kind of this is the kind of creative way to approach things that Colorado is going to have to consistently do over the next few years while they don't have lots of draft picks for this.
All right. I'll show you, Chad. What do we think? Team mail model. Matt Nieto, yes or no?
You know, he looks like the front man of an emo band or a pop punk band going to Warped Tour, but it's being held in San Jose, so they gave him a local team jersey to wear. That's just what this picture looks like.
It kind of does.
All he needs is the studs in his ears and maybe like one tattoo creeping out from the neck somewhere.
Yeah, see, I actually prefer him with a little bit more hair here. Let me show you guys this one. All right. I think this one's a little bit closer to team male model. I don't know though.
That has helped him, in my opinion.
Yes. It's better. Okay. Fair enough. The chat wanted it, so I gave them what they wanted.
Okay, but what about Ryan Merkley?
Ooh, let me see if there's even any good pictures of Ryan Merkley that aren't like 100 by 100.
He looks like my brother now. Oh my God.
All right. So there's two versions of Ryan Merkley, and like they're really different.
Oh.
Let me.
Well, that seems right. to track.
So here's the first version.
Ah! That's an OHL jersey. He's a teenager there.
Yeah, but all of the ones when he's pro, he just kind of looks homeless. I'll show you in a second. Anyway, that's the teenage version. The other version, I really don't know how you end up with a team male model on this one. I'm not gonna lie to you. That's what it is.
You haven't seen Silicon Valley, have you?
No, I still haven't watched it.
If anybody has, he kind of looks like Big Head's junkie brother in this picture. He's doing his best. Yeah.
Anyway, at the end of the day, I think the floor of this trade is the Avs made themselves better today for minimal cost with an upside swing on the back half of this trade that maybe it works out, maybe it doesn't. I just don't – I really, really struggle to see any downside on this trade for Colorado. So I think it's more smart business from McFarland and Sakic up in the front office.
Yeah, this is a really sneaky, like, super fine deal.
Yep.
They gave Kaut years to develop and kind of work out, and now they've swapped him in a sort of a failed prospect for failed prospect move. They move on from a guy that, look, they got Jacob McDonald for Rocco Grimaldi, and now they've revisited the Matt Nieto thing. they've acquired Matt Nieto twice now for very, very, very little.
Matt Nieto's only allowed to play for two teams in this league, apparently.
It was funny when the Avs were like, we don't really need you back. And he was like, all right, I guess I'm going back to San Jose.
And now he's back.
Yeah, and now it's like, all right, it's trade time. Where's he going? I guess he's going back to Colorado.
Those are his options. Yeah. It will be certainly curious to follow the rest of Ryan Merkley's season with the Colorado Eagles. So
yeah, and somebody in chat had mentioned it. Boy, does it get intriguing at the end of the year when Sean Barron's and Ryan Merkley are on that same defense, and you're like, more? What's
interesting,
this?
Interesting.
This is kind of frisky and fun.
Yeah,
from Matt Nieto's perspective, though, opens up the door for Ben Myers to play 10 minutes a night now and to really start building up the idea of them having a fourth line. Please.
Yeah, something that actually plays more than 4 minutes a night. That'd be cool.
Please open up the door for them to have a fourth line.
He'll. You think he wears the same number? You think he keeps 83?
Totally. Why yeah, not?
I don't know. Sometimes people like to change their number. I don't know.
He didn't do it the first time.
Yeah, sure. I don't know. People seem to change numbers randomly in their careers, though, so I don't really know anything about that.
Yeah, he's only ever worn 83, so.
Well, there you go.
There's no 83, right? I'm not missing anything. There isn't anybody blocking it.
Has there ever been anyone else that's worn 83? I don't think so. Let me pull up the hockey reference list real quick.
No.
Just Nieto, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Not a lot of 83s.
Just league wide, I imagine.
Yeah, so kind in of general. A number.
Yeah.
Maybe the most traveled 83, Jay Beagle and Alex Hemsky.
Two journeymen right. there. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
Okay. Anything else you wanted to add on this, AJ?
No, man, it's really you raise the floor of your roster, and it gives you you get a legit defensive prospect that you hope turns into something over the next couple of years. Man. That's that.
couldn't have said it better. We're going to get out of here for this emergency pod. We appreciate the 400 of you coming out to listen to us talk about the news. We'll be back tomorrow. I can't imagine the Avs are going to do anything else significant until way closer to the deadline. But if they do, you know where to find us, where we'll be live. Like and subscribe. Do all that good stuff. We will talk to you on the next one. Goodbye. Hello. We're back.
Oh, and we're back again. Is this where yeah.
Hello.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Olmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team. We'll talk about your least favorite team and everybody in between. And we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.